Suvas, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. The idea of this Mishnah is we're going to say that there's another case which seems quite similar to the case in Mishnah 1-6 we learned in the previous Perek, Mishnah Vav. And over there in Mishnah Vav, Rabbi Yeshua said that claim isn't good enough and we reject her claim, a woman can't collect her 200 zuz. Whereas in something which seems kind of similar, we'll say that it's a good enough claim, and even Rabbi Yeshua would say it's good enough, we believe the claim, and therefore the person we believe his claim. Now, let me first go over what this case is, then I'll remind you what the case of back in 1-6 was, then I'll describe the analogy, and then we'll explain the difference why Yeshua holds as a different psak for the two cases. Okay, so first of all, our case in our Mishnah. Our case in our Mishnah is there's a person who is controlling and owning a field, and he's been there for a couple of years. Now, the normal rule is that if a person has been on a piece of land for less than 3 years, it's incumbent upon him to retain proof that he acquired that field fair and square, like say with a deed of ownership, a shtar. And if he hasn't got that document which shows that he bought the property fair and square, the previous owner can say, listen, that's my property, I want it back. In other words, he's expected to maintain proof of acquisition for at least 3 years. After 3 years, so if the previous owner would say, that's my property, I want it back, he could say, listen, I've been here 3 years, where you've been till now, and he would win. He's got a chazaka, the presumption is it's his property, he can stay there, and if the question is, well, where's the contract, he can say he lost it, because a person doesn't necessarily keep the proof of acquisition, the deed, for more than 3 years. So, the case of permission is we have a person who's been on a piece of property for less than 3 years, and he goes to the previous owner's heirs, the previous owner's children. Now the previous owner is dead. And he says to those heirs, he says, hi guys, you probably didn't realize, but the field that I am now owning previously was your father's. But you should know that I bought it from him fair and square a couple of years ago, and it's mine. So if the boys, I want to claim, the heirs want to claim that field back, the din will be they cannot get it back, even if he doesn't have the contract, the evidence that he bought it fair and square. He does not need to produce it, and yet he can still stay on his field. So that's the case. Now, the rationale why he can stay on the field is because the only reason these boys would ever know to claim in the first place this field is because he told them. If he had said nothing, so then they would never have known to make a claim on him. And if they even did one day wake up and say, hey, that's our field, give it back to us, he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. He could just say, listen, here I am. Unless you have some evidence that it belongs to you, go fly a kite. And indeed, the Bezdin would say, listen, who the heck are you guys? You can't just knock on someone's door and say, give us a field. So if they haven't got any proof that it once belonged to their family in the last 3 years, so then, like, what? They have no claim. So that's our case of permission. Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree in the scenario that I described, the current field owner gets to retain his field. We believe his claim that he bought it. Now, his claim is believable because he has amigu. Amigu is again, it literally means since. But the point is, believe my claim because I could have made a more advantageous claim. His claim is, I've been here for 2 years, but I bought it fair and square. He could have just as easily said, I've been here for 3 years, and I bought it fair and square. And in which case, if his claim is 3 years, we don't even have to ask him. We wouldn't have a right to ask him to evidence the purchase of it, because he could say, I don't have the contract. I lost the deed, and so what? That's normal for after 3 years. So believe me when I tell you 2 years, because I could have 3 years and been just fine. Now, and it wouldn't have even had, there'd be no discussion to be had. Now, here, Rabbi Yeshua agrees he can keep the field. We believe his claim because of his migu. Now, let's compare that to what was happening back in Mishnah Vav of Perek Aleph. The Mishnah there said, Hanosa esa isha v'lo matza la besulim. A man marries a woman, he claims the morning afterwards that he didn't find Basulim. He omeris, her claim is, Misha eras tani ne nasti. She says, when we got engaged, Erisin, it gave me the ring, I was absolutely Basula, and therefore I deserve 200 zuz, and you have no claim from Mekachtos. But then after our engagement, ne nasti, then I was raped. The nistachafa sadecha, your field was flooded. Again, it's your own bad luck. But the point is, I'm deserving 200. V'hala omer, but the other guy says, lo ki ela ad shlo erastich. He says, I don't buy it. Maybe not. you already had been with a man prior to the Erisin when I gave you that ring, and therefore it's a mekach tos, I'm going to pay you nothing. Now, the halacha there was, she has a migu. She could have said that she was a mukas eitz. She could have said, when we got engaged, I was a basula, and I remain a basula. The only thing is that I had an injury in the meantime, and the injury caused me to lose my basulim. If she would make such a claim, she wouldn't be a rape victim, and her options would be much wider in terms of who she could marry. She would be permitted to marry a Cohen. So that being the case, she has a better claim. And the fact that she didn't make that better claim of that she was a mukas eitz, injured, rather, she said she admitted to being a rape victim, so she has a migu, believe my less advantageous claim, and indeed that is the halacha we said was like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer. We do believe her. But Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we don't believe her, that we don't use a migu to extract money. Not good enough. Not good enough to be that migu. Over here in our Mishnah, we're letting a migu be strong enough to let him retain his field, and we're going to believe him. So why is the migu over there not good enough, but the migu over here, yes, good enough to believe his claim? So the answer is that over here, he's the only source of information, and therefore he has the privileged position of being what's called in the Mishnah, hapesha aser, hu hapesha hitter. It's his mouth is the only mouth which makes us have any reason to think that he shouldn't have a claim to the field. He should lose the field because he's admitting he got it less than 3 years ago. But if we didn't have him to say that, we would know nothing of a sort, and they'd have no claim whatsoever. So now he introduced that information. Okay, they might have a claim, but the fact is, he is also, since he's the sole source of information, his information is, it's true that I believe in it 2 years, but I bought it fair and square. So he's also the pesha hitter. He's the sole source of information. Therefore, we believe that information that he bought it fair and square, and he can keep it. If, of course, the boys then hire a lawyer, and their lawyer said, listen, let's go find a neighbor who can testify your father was there less than 3 years ago. If they find those neighbors, so now they'll have a neighbor which testifies, yeah, your father was there less than 3 years ago. So now this fellow is no longer the pesha aser. It's not his testimony which is making it that he's now in jeopardy of losing his field. It's the neighbor's testimony. So now he loses that privileged position, and now he would need to bring proof. But without anybody knowing anything besides for him introducing that information, so then he owns the information, he owns the entire story, and the story is, according to him, he did buy it within 3 years, but he bought it fair and square, and therefore he'll be able to retain it. And his migu, his claim that I could have said I bought it 3 years ago, is sufficient to let him be victorious in the din. He were not extracting money from anybody, and therefore his claim is believed, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. And that's what the Mishnah says inside. The Mishnah says, Umoda Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua agrees, but Omer lechavero, if a person says to his friend, meaning this is the chavero here are the heirs, and the person is the guy who's now currently possessing the property, living on it, Sadezu shel avicha haisa, the field that I'm now working was once your father's, even in the past 3 years. Ula kachtia heimenu, but I purchased it from him, and it's now mine fair and square. Shehu ne'aman, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees he should be believed. Shepesha aser, the very mouth which said, oh, this is now a questionable situation, and maybe it should go back to the original owners. Hu hapesha hitter, it's the very same mouth which is saying, it's true it was your father's once within the last 3 years, but I bought it fair and square. However, v'im yesh edim shehu shel aviv, if the heirs can bring any proof independent of his story that it belonged to their father within the last 3 years, and therefore they would have a claim to the field without him having evidence to the contrary with some kind of star contract. So then, v'hu omer lekachtia himenu, if he simply claims, yeah, but I bought it from your father, fair and square, but he doesn't have any evidence, eino ne'man, he would not be believed. Not good enough anymore because he doesn't have the privileged position of being a pesha aser, who a pesha hitter. He's just attempting a pesha hitter, which is not good enough. And therefore, in Onemah, he's not believed, and the field would go back to the heirs because he can't prove that he bought it and owns it fair and square.